Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
People want to make it work. They want to make it work together. And I will protect their rights and the rights of everybody.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
What the city should be doing are those things that are absolutely critical where we can do it better than the private side.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Bill Rock, you have it right once again. Good morning, everybody. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock, Friday get-together does indeed include Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We've given you a promotion to co-host.
Yeah, I was surprised when I heard that. I thought,
you were the victim
or something.
On a Friday.
I'm honored. I'm flattered. I mean, I don't have the family history that you do of radio. I don't have the experience that you do. I'm better looking.
That's true. You are, but you've lost a little weight here. You are looking
struggle,
better.
Struggle. And I know, you want me to talk about your waistline?
No, that's okay. Just leave it right where it is. Okay, there's plenty of it. We don't need to talk about it. How are you this morning?
When the weather's like this, I don't know why I have a frog in my throat. Mm-hmm. Number one, I don't know where that comes from. Number two, I don't know why I have the frog. The weather's great. We had a dinner last night outside of Gracie for the Historic House Trust. We raised money to save these old houses in all five boroughs. And the weather outside is in a tent, and it could not have been better weather. And I thought, supposing this had been two nights earlier when you had the tornadoes and thunderstorms. We lost some trees at Gracie. Fortunately, didn't hit the house, and they're just some branches.
Or the heat wave of earlier in the week.
Unbelievable.
Unfortunately, six people succumbing,
six, which
I don't think most of us think about that.
You know, it's when it's very hot, you got to keep drinking water, even when you don't feel thirsty. When you're older, your body can't recover. I mean, I worry about my mother. I worry about me. And, as you get older, you don't think you're getting older, but you do. And just common sense things. Now, some of these things may have been unpreventable, but nevertheless, it's very sad when people die from the weather, and in some cases, at least, I don't know about these six or seven, in some cases, it could have been prevented if we'd stopped in and said to, the person, look, let me help you, and just sort of convinced them nicely to stay indoors, out of the sun, wear light clothing, drink more water, don't exercise. A friend of mine apparently died of a heart attack yesterday. Just got an email this morning after bicycling with somebody I was with 2 days ago. It wasn't the heat, obviously, because, or at least the 105 degree heat or 95 degree heat, but things happen, and you can take care of yourself. And this guy was in great shape, so it's not...
It can happen to anybody, unfortunately. Con Ed, what'd they tell you about the power outages? We go through this again.
Well, we've had only small ones. They've got them back reasonably quickly. Some of the power outages are because when you have the thunderstorms that cool everything off and reduce electricity consumption, also bring down a lot of trees and tree limbs, and those take out wires where the power grid is above ground, most of Staten Island, big parts of Queens, some parts of the Bronx, a little bit of Brooklyn, and that's one thing. And then there's just, equipment does wear out. Even in the winter, there are power outages. We don't focus on it. So far this year, knock on wood, Con Ed, they got through a very tough four-day period with relatively minimal outages, although anybody that had it was serious for them.
Record consumption.
Yeah, absolutely. And in all fairness, you got to give credit to them when they do the right thing. They've been investing a lot of money every year, but particularly after last year. And let's hope...
No shortage of electricity, though. Again, distribution issues.
Con Ed is only in the distribution business.
I understand that.
So far, no shortages. That's correct. When they lose some feeders, they sometimes have to cut the voltage because the backup feeders can't carry all the load, or they don't want to stress them as much. And that's always, a tricky decision for them. Do they cut back power, which annoys everybody, or do they let it run and pray? It's easy to second guess. Whichever they do, they're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of infrastructure, I understand you were down in Washington yesterday. I hate to use this metaphor, hat in hand, or at least discussing financial issues.
Senators Dodd and Shelby have a Senate committee that I testified in front of, along with the mayors of Atlanta, Shirley Franklin, John Payton of Paxton, Jacksonville, Florida, really smart guy, and a guy in Frankenhauser of Kansas City, Missouri. And they wanted to know from the mayors who pays for infrastructure. In the end, it really is the city. We get relatively little amount of money from the state and from the federal government. And what could we use from them? And what did we see as the needs going forward? What I said, and I've said it repeatedly, is stimulus packages, I understand why we need them, but I thought the last stimulus package was a not a total waste of money, but a very inefficient waste to get the economy moving. I likened it to giving a drink to an alcoholic. The problem we have in this country is we spent money we don't have, and we spend it on the wrong things, and this is not going to help. What we should be doing is what Roosevelt did back in the New Deal, where we invested, we created jobs, but we used the work to build the infrastructure we needed for the next few years.
To improve.
Right. Then Eisenhower did the same thing with the interstate highway system, and he had a Democrat and Republican president who, because of their leadership, and Congress, in all fairness, going along with it, or for all I know, a lot of the leadership came from Congress, carried this country for decades. And then, sadly, lately, we have not done that. That's what we need to do. It's not going to overnight fix anything, but long term, you have to start making the investments. And everybody says, well, if we've gone this long without them, what's the rush?
There's
more reason to do it because we have not.
And, you know, the earmarks, that is sort of the new system of dollar distribution.
I don't know if it's new.
It's not brand new, but, I mean, it's fairly new. That siphons the money off that you're kind of talking about that could be used to stimulate the economy.
Well, even though the federal government prints money, they don't have an unlimited amount because there are consequences of printing money. They're a little bit harder to measure. They're a little more macro and long term. It's a little harder to point the finger. But when we, number one, we aren't spending it on the right things, and number two, we aren't spending enough of it on to help this country, and you can't because you're wasting it on so many things that we don't need. I was pleased to see that the Passenger Rail Investment Improvement Act passed the House this week. The Senate has passed a similar bill. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to become law because they have to go through a conference committee, and the president's got to sign it, and I don't know where he stands on this. But this would help us do something for infrastructure. We just aren't going to build more runways in New York City. It's hard to get people to go to Stewart or Republic or Newark's overcrowded. There are other places you could go to let us have more travel in and out of the city. Rail is one of the answers, not the only one, and this would help build a high-speed rail here to Washington, to Boston.
But if you could also take some of those dollars, possibly, or future dollars, and build high-speed rail service to those outlying airports like Stewart, like MacArthur, some of the other places.
Yeah, you could, except if you think about it, getting on the train, taking it to Stewart, then getting on a plane and flying to Washington, you'd be better off just having a train to Washington.
Correct. I'm talking about the larger issue, longer travel.
Long-distance routes, that's true. It's also true that an awful lot of flying is short distances. And one of the things that complicates this is there are lots of small cities in this country that want to have air travel because without access to the airways, they can't grow. On the other hand, they don't have the size to really justify it. And so that's where you have to make a decision as a society. Should we subsidize some of those smaller places? I happen to think that that's a legitimate government purpose, and we should do that, that you can't just say everything goes to the big guy. On the other hand, you've got to, you can't stop the trend at $135 a barrel of oil. All these airlines are shutting down or closing, reducing the number of flights.
It's extraordinary.
And so we've got to have something else, and that comes about. We've never, for decades, we have not addressed the energy issue of reducing consumption and stopping this cartel from controlling us. We have turned over the future of our country to OPEC in a very meaningful sense.
And we've been doing it for 30 years.
And, you know, I mean, yeah, so we can go blame the president, this Congress. Just blame the last president, last Congress, the one before that, and the one before that,
exactly.
And the one before that. Sure. We've been doing
You're absolutely right. We'll get into that. Also, will you be able to bet on OTB or not? We'll get into that in just a few moments. Need to take our first break. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock here at WOR. John and Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Coming right back.
News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, back to John Gambling.
21 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg with us here on a Friday at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. You will get to ask the questions in a bit if you'd like to get online and in the line. 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. All right, so what's the deal? It seems like every week for the last month we've been talking about OTB. Sunday's the deadline. Closes or stays open?
Up to the legislature.
Still?
You know,
I mean, here on Friday, it's 11:30.
I don't think that I should tell some other government how they should run their government, although I am a citizen of the state. I don't think they should tell us how to run our government. I listened to some of the assembly people mouthing off about what we do in this city. Maybe they'd be better off worrying about what Albany does
or doesn't do.
For Rudy tried to get rid of OTB, which people say it's not well run. That's not true. It is well run. People say it's the only bookie operation in the world that loses money. That's not true. What is true is what was started to raise money for the state and the city has been changed by the legislature and past legislatures and past governors over the years to basically fund the racing industry. And that's up to them. That's what they're going to do.
A decision made.
What we're not going to do is we're not going to subsidize it. And they take more than 100% of our profits. So
business doesn't work well when they
do that. I mean, you can argue that they say, oh, then you're losing money. Well, we're not losing money. You're just taxing us more than our profits. You're taking everything away. I have said for a few years, you got to solve this problem. I've said for the last 9 months, a year, we're going to close this down. For the last 3 or 4 months, we have gone through all of the procedures of studying how we get out of leases and sending out the required layoff notices to the 1,500 people that work there, and 1,200 unionized and probably 309. I feel sorry for them, but we aren't going to subsidize. I have to make a choice. People that work in a bookie operation or cops that protect us on the street, people who work in a bookie operation or teachers in front of our classrooms, people who work in a bookie operation or firefighters or correction officers, that's not a hard decision to make. I know exactly where we've got to be on that. We keep telling the legislature. They live in a different world. I was going to say Never Neverland, but I shouldn't criticize. They live in a different world than you and me. To them, deadlines and giving your word on something means something different. And I have said, we're going to solve this problem, or Sunday will be the last day. Now, the good news is, if you go to OTB on Sunday and you make a bet, we will keep about 300 of our 1,500 employees working for the next 3 months to close down the operation. After all, we've got to remove equipment and all that sort of stuff. And they will redeem any winning bets. So if you bet on Sunday, you'll still be able to get
your money. So it closes at the end of business on Sunday.
That is correct, unless the legislature does something. Now, the legislature says, well, just trust us. We'll give you a quick fix for a year, and then we'll solve the problem next year. Next year, I'm going to have 6 months left in office, and we'll be right back here, and we have no leverage. The answer to that is no. Now, if they want us to run it, we'll run it, but they have to pass a law that protects this city, that says we're not going to be in a subsidy operation, and that we have to get some revenue for the city out of this. If they want to take it over, they can do anything they want with it. It is worth, people say, sell it to the private sector. Private sector is never going to buy this unless the private sector can control the expenses and change who works there
and make a profit.
And that nobody's going to, the state legislature and governor is not going to do that. They're not going to take these workers and make their life more difficult. So my answer is take it over. And if you take it over, you're going to have to take over all of the pension benefits. whatever the obligations. These are not municipal workers, so it's not clear to me that they have pensions. They may have COBRA and things like that, but they don't really have pension benefits. And they're going to have to, if they don't like it, they can call the legislature. This is a state agency. The city runs it for the state. But the city is a fiduciary, and we can't put money into this anymore. And the state, as of last night, 10 o'clock at night, they said, oh, well, you know, you can't obligate us. Trust us. We'll do it in a year. Trust them. We trusted them on congestion pricing. I mean, get serious here. We are not going to do that. And if they can come up with something, fine. Now, I'm told, oh, the assembly has gone home.
End of
they
story.
They know Sunday is coming up. The assembly is gone home, so you can't pass any legislation.
So
let them come back. I work when we have to. I work 7 days a week if I have to. I'd like to take a couple days off, but if the city needs me, that's my job.
If the status quo,
these are the guys screaming for a pay raise, and they go home when we have the fate of OTB hanging in the balance. I'm sorry, you don't get a lot of sympathy from me.
So if the status quo on this issue at 8:27 on Friday morning is not changed, doesn't different Sunday, it's it. Close the doors.
Well,
done.
What did I say? I mean, how many times have I said it? That's it. We're just not going to lay off cops and teachers and firefighters to support this. And that's the alternative. And incidentally, you know, if you think about what's happened to our budget, we are starting to see the tax revenues go down. I looked at a chart yesterday. Quarter by quarter revenues of Wall Street, which translate right into taxes into our pockets. Basically, every year they make $5-10 billion. The third quarter of last year, they lost 10 or 15. The fourth quarter, they lost 15 or 20. This first quarter of this year, they lost 20-odd billion. I forget the numbers. This quarter, it's going to be as bad, if not worse. We just don't have the money. And the city council, as some of the city council people say, oh, you have all this money. We're going to spend more. They don't understand. We've cut city budgets by 5% off the budget, which means no increase. If we don't do something in this budget, right after the budget, we will have to have another round of serious cuts. Our revenues are starting to fall. We had a PBA settlement thanks to an arbitrator. All of a sudden, $1 billion hole in our budget has appeared thanks to this arbitrator that just doesn't get it. This arbitrator awarded things, money that we don't have. And the private sector who's paying for this, they're getting laid off. And instead, we're giving raises over and above the pattern. And there's just no excuse for it whatsoever. But we're going to have to do something in the next few weeks to balance the budget again. Our carefully crafted budget looks to me like it's falling out of balance. Certainly $1 billion overnight. We could probably postpone that to next year, to 2010. But I'm not going to leave a big deficit for my successor.
So
period.
Contracts that are coming up next year.
Well, what the arbitrator did is they awarded something for a contract that's already
2004-6.
Right. So you know, it's catching up. Just the catch up is close to $1 billion, and then we're going to have an extra $100 to $200 million going forward in our budget. Expenses in our budget. And you take a look. There's an article in the paper about a lot of condos starting to convert into...
I was just going to ask you about that.
Because people don't have the money, and they're not going to be...
But your transactional revenues go away then, don't they on rental?
Well, yes, but rentals, you don't make the same kind of transactions. There's been a handful of big buildings sold, actually. Zuckerman bought three big buildings, including the GM building. That's good for us because we get some taxes on it. But the relatively small in the grand scheme of things. And the budget is getting worse, and OTB is just one part of it. We're just not going to subsidize and stay in things that we can't justify that aren't absolutely necessary.
What's going to happen to property taxes in this new scenario that you're talking about?
In the end, the property tax is the difference between what you spend and what you get in other taxes. It's the one tax that the city is in charge of. The other taxes are really, it's the state legislature. And this is starting to get to the point where I'm not sure that we can maintain the 7% cut. I've said in our current budget, which has a $2 or $3 billion deficit for 2010, we assume that property tax cut is coming back. we may very well have to put it back right now for this year, because without that, we can't balance this year's budget, or we can balance this year's budget, but we make next year so onerous that nobody wants to have that kind of precipitous tax raise. So a smaller one now, maybe. I don't want to cut raise taxes. My first instincts are to cut expenses. We've done that. If the city council doesn't want to go along with a tax increase, then we're going to have to cut. And the next set of cuts will be the last
set. You start to get down into the
last set. We got
through
pretty much every, a handful of people complained, but fundamentally we got through it by more efficiencies. Now we're going to have to start. The next one will be starting to cut back programs. And, you know, Albany doesn't help us. They're starting this warfare between some schools and another with giving us money, but only for some schools. And that's not fair. We want every school to get funded exactly the same. That's what we're doing with our money, but they're not doing it with theirs. So, you know, and then I don't know how you deal with them when they go home.
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg's got more on the list of things to talk about and positions. We will get to that in just a moment. Let's take another break here. It's 8:31, and of course, if you've got a question, it's 800-321-0710. Joe Bartlett has more news. Joe.
Good morning.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
I've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg with me here in Studio 4 at WOR, News Talk Radio, 24 now before 9 o'clock. Let's see here. Where should we? The World Trade Center. Governor has said to the Port Authority, hey, what's the deal? It doesn't look...
Well,
timely is probably what I,
you know, Spitzer came in, asked for a report. Patterson came in, asked for a report. I suppose they sort of have to. There's good news and bad news. The difference is today things are progressing. In all fairness to the Port Authority, they are progressing. As fast as everybody would like, no. Nothing ever goes as fast as you'd like. These things, I've been saying this for the 6.5 years we've been on radio together. It is easy to second guess. As far as I know, you know, Brodsky's complaining all the time. He's never run anything. I don't know where this stuff comes from. The Port Authority is a bunch of hardworking people. I don't think they could take on Moynihan Station as well. I think they are overstretched, but they are very honest, very competent, very hardworking, and they're doing a very good job. Is it as fast as we'd like? No, I mean, I've made commitments as to everybody else to get it done faster. The only part that down there is still way up in the air is the Calatrava Path Station, which is a phenomenal design. This guy Calatrava is brilliant. But the money for it, it's a couple billion dollars, and in this economy, it's hard to see how we come up with that money. The rest of it is going ahead. You know, some of it's the Port Authority has to pay Silverstein, or I think it is, some penalties for not being done in time. Yeah, that's written into contracts. That happens. Probably, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot of money, and it's built into their budget. But they did deliver the what's called the Eastern Bathtub. He started work on those two buildings. Freedom Tower is now above ground level. The World Trade Center... Memorial.
I was going to ask you, how's the fundraising on the memorial?
We finished the fundraising.
You did it.
Oh, yeah, we raised $350 million, thank God, before the subprime crisis. An awful lot of people who made commitments on behalf of the companies no longer have their jobs, but the companies will honor those commitments. We think virtually all of them are money good. We're trying to build a little endowment on top of that, but we've got the money. The problem with it is there's so many things on every piece of ground. There's all different levels, and all these projects are interconnected. So what's holding up the construction of the World Trade Center Memorial is some of the other things that have to go on underground. Is the Port Authority doing as fast as like? No. Are they doing a good job? Yes. Come on. I mean, it's easy to second guess. But the governor has a right to ask for a study, and he appointed Chris Ward to be the executive director. Tony Kosher is the representative of the governor of New Jersey, John Corzine. Chris Ward is a representative of the governor of New York, David Patterson. And I'm sure they'll work well together. Chris used to work for our administration and running EDP and DEP, and he's a competent guy, so we'll get this done.
All right. It seems that we talk about the same things each and every week. That's
yes, it does.
Because the problems never seem to go away. Lee Sanders was with me yesterday talking about the MTA. You talk about budget problems. I mean, he's got nothing but a headache.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have another subject? No. look, we all want better mass transit. If we were to design the perfect system for society, mass transit would be free, and it would cost an awful lot of money to drive your car because it's in society's interest to have people take mass transit. The real political world is we are not going to be lowering the fees to take mass transit. If anything, for sure, we're going to have to raise
basically
them.
What he told me. It's either going to be a fare increase or taxes increase or both.
And that's correct, and the difference really is who pays. But we're going to pay. If you take the subway or a bus and you're a taxpayer, they're going to get you one way or another. I suppose if you don't use mass transit, the taxes are going to get you. For those that don't use mass transit, they want fare increases. For those that do want mass transit, they don't, because you can spread the burden over the other people as well. Leah's got a difficult job. We want more service. We want more security. We want cleaner stations and more amenities. And we don't have any money for the capital budget. That went away with congestion pricing, which I still think, somebody's got to bring back here. We've laid out how to do it. It's up to the when somebody said to me yesterday, well, can you bring it back? I can't bring it back. We've done everything we can. It's up to the legislature. The public's got to understand either they have an improved, expanded, better, safer mass transit system, or they don't. But if they want it, somebody's got to pay for it. And the only identifiable source is really charging motorists. Whether you toll all the bridges around Manhattan or you have cameras and technology and charge them when they cross a particular street or enter a particular neighborhood, those are the details. The issue is, does the legislature have the courage, I would argue, to stand up, at least take a vote, which they didn't have the courage to do. But if they vote, they're going to have to make the decision, am I in favor of mass transit or am I opposed to mass transit? And then answer to the voters. And two-thirds of all the five boroughs, even the people out in the suburbs, who benefit from this as well. Because remember, the MTA is a regional system, not just the city, although it's designed to get people basically into the city. Some people take it within their the Nassau, Suffolk, and get off before they get to the city, or Rockland, Westchester. But fundamentally, it is to the city. And they're going to have to answer to them, your commute is worse because I didn't have the courage to stand up to the leadership and say, I want to vote in this and this is what we need. Or maybe the public doesn't care. Maybe the public's not going to hold them responsible. But in terms of operating, labor costs go up. Energy costs at $135 a barrel go way up. That's hurting. Security is another issue, providing more security. Although, keep in mind, the taxpayers of New York City provide the cops on the city transit system. The MTA pays. They have another separate set of cops for Metro North and for Long Island Railroad. And everything that the MTA touches is going to cost more. And their revenue sources, if you remember 2 years ago, everybody was laughing at the MTA. And I don't know why I'm always defending these guys. But all of a sudden there was some money that showed up. And everybody was criticizing them, saying, oh, look how stupid they were. They didn't even know their own revenue. Look, it was real estate transactions. Nobody had predicted that Sam Zell would sell 23 buildings to Steve Schwarzman, who would then resell them. That's where the revenues came from. It was a bonanza for the state. Nobody criticized them for having extra revenue. It was a bonanza for the city. And it was a bonanza for the MTA, which does share in that particular tax. This year, it's a lot less. Now, Mort Zuckerman bought 3 buildings. That's good. Somebody said, I think the Chrysler building is for sale, going to be sold. That will help a little bit. But the real estate transaction taxes are down, and next year will be even worse. You cannot finance it, and there aren't any other buildings to trade. And if you take a look at Wall Street profits, you know these other taxes, which doesn't necessarily help the MTA directly, but is the only other source they could go to. So where does that leave you? It leaves you with, if you want mass transit, unless we build, and that's going to take a while, revenues, fares are going to go up, and unless the Albany legislature comes back with some brilliant ideas or a variation of congestion pricing, we're in big trouble.
One more money story for the Yankees, asking for $350 million more in bond funding.
what they want, and we can't do it on the current IRS regulations, so it's a non-starter. We'd like to change the regulations, because there are some projects that we would like to be able to help. But you're taking federal monies. It's the federal government subsidizes the interest rate on that. It's just a ways to reduce the cost. The Yankees, I'm told, are roughly on budget. I don't know how true that is. I'm told that the Mets are actually on budget. Both will complete great stadiums. They're great for New York City. If you remember when I came into office, Rudy had a handshake with him to have the city build two new stadiums. I said the economics have changed since Rudy had made that deal, because it was the end of the internet bubble in 9/11. We just can't do it. We didn't. They both came up with their own money. We did put some infrastructure money in, as did the state. Our infrastructure money actually, in the case of the stadiums, cost us nothing, because we had an obligation to fix up the existing stadiums.
To do it anyway.
Which we don't now have, because they're going to be ripped down. So for us, it was a good deal. But, you know, this is another way to support big projects which really make a difference. And, you know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't be supporting any projects. If you just leave it to the marketplace, then, you know, that's not government's responsibility. Government should encourage development where it's in society's interest. And this is one of the ways of doing it, of using subsidized debt.
Do you have a different view, different subject here, different view on the police department using stun guns?
I thought Ray Kelly had exactly the right thing. He's giving them to sergeants, and let's see what happens. In places where they've given them out to all the cops, the number of incidents has gone up dramatically. It may be true that if they've shot a few fewer people with bullets, but they're shooting 3 and 4 times the number of people with these stun guns, and people die from that as well. It is not proven to be a great success or a wise crime-fighting policy in other cities where it's been tried. Ray is trying a limited version of it here, and I think that's appropriate, and we'll see what happens.
All right, other divisions under, not scrutiny, but certainly in the headlines, and it is the tragic headline of Kyle Smith, who was beaten to death, ACS services.
I think we come
around to this question whenever there's a tragedy
like
this.
Yeah, this is not a case where ACS taken the child or made a decision to leave the child. ACS had done two different assessments for the court. They tend to be relatively small, limited assessments. Whether ACS could have found out that there was a problem in Texas with this particular mother or the godmother or grandmother, I forget which. In the end, everybody could have done something. And if any one of the could haves had done it, who knows, maybe the tragedy would have been prevented. You know, it's sad. We have the people who, in the end, we can all blame everybody, but it was the people that
beat Kyle to death.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones. Let's
exactly.
You know, stop. We're always looking for other people to blame. Let's start there. I'm not letting anybody else off the hook, but that's the primary responsibility.
All right, Mr. Mayor, why don't we hang on here and take a break? 1-800-321-0710 is our call-in number. Your chance to ask the mayor some questions coming up as we continue here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Mayor Mike and John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Here on a Friday, a couple of minutes left, and yes, indeed, we do have Mayor Michael Bloomberg with us. And Mr. Mayor, if you want to pick up that headphone so that you can listen to the telephone calls, I think we're going to start with line number 5, Anthony over in New Jersey in the car. Good morning, Anthony.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Mr. Gambling. To backtrack to the MTA, they're having problems with money, and they're looking to raise the fare. And I was wondering why that in this economy and everybody looking to go greener, they don't lower the fare and bring back the percentage of riders that they lost with the last two fare hikes.
Well, they didn't lose that many riders, but as I said at the beginning, ridership's up, yeah, because of the cost of gasoline.
Right.
If you compare the fare to the increase in the cost of gasoline, the fare is a lot lower than it was before. It's also true that because you have these special deals, the average fare really hasn't gone up in a long time. You know, they raise the incremental fare for one ride, but people buy monthlies or weeklies and unlimiteds, and then they get a very low rate. the real answer here, more than anything else, is that somebody's got to pay the workers, somebody's got to pay for energy, and if you were to decrease the fare or not raise it, then the taxpayers would have to come up with a lot more money. And the politics of fare increases in taxes invariably is all of the above. That's the way Albany works. I said before,
well,
I'm not going to
criticize.
Well, they
have to placate the upstate folks that, you know, don't.
Well, the upstate folks are going to be paying for it because it comes out of state.
That's what I'm saying.
Although
that's why they need to do
both.
Keep
in mind, New York City exports money, and upstate folks think that we take their money. We subsidize them. The city sends $12 billion or something like that more to Albany than we get back. I mean, it's nonsensical. You listen to people upstate, they say, "Oh, you're taking all our money." Wrong. We are subsidizing all of those cities, and it's very sad. They need an economy, and somebody's got to help them, and I hope David Pattison, who I think will turn out to be a good governor, I think he will do some things, but nevertheless, the truth of the matter is upstate has gotten worse and worse and worse for a long time.
If you believe the picture in the paper in the Daily News this morning, he's getting a headache. Laura in Manhattan, you've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Go.
Yes, good
Hi.
Morning, Mayor.
Good morning,
morning John. I was wondering how the mayor is going to address the overcrowding issue in the public schools, as families who can no longer afford private school are going to be placing their children in the system.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, Laura, what's happened is we have a $13.5 billion capital budget to repair, replace, and add schools, and we've added a lot of schools in the last 6.5 years. We've added teachers. And the number of kids per classroom has actually gone down by about one child, so maybe it's gone from 25 to 24, numbers like that. If you look at the number of teachers that we have and you divide it into the number of students, the average number of students per teacher is something like 13. It's because a lot of special ed kids get one pupil per teacher. Or one teacher per pupil, so the numbers all get skewed around. There's no quick answer. We've got to build schools, and the trouble is that old schools fall apart, so no matter how fast we build, it's hard to get ahead of the game. Now, it's also true, incidentally, Laura, that the demographics show that because of it, the way the number of births, you can predict how many kids in the schools, and that will be slightly favorable over the next few years. It will reduce the number of kids. People are staying in the city that used to move out and take their kids to the suburban schools. People are sending their kids to public schools that used to send them to private schools, and part of it is economic. But the biggest part is the New York City public schools, thanks to the hard work of our 80,000 teachers and 1,500 principals, whatever it is, and the school safety guards and everybody else that's involved here, APs and staff, the schools are getting better. And a lot of people want to send their kids to public schools because those are the best schools that they can get. And they say, even if I can afford to send my kids to private schools, these schools are starting to really turn around. And you can see that in the number of teachers who apply for jobs every year and the fact that people are taking advantage of a great inner-city school system.
Laura, thanks for the telephone call. Let us go to Angela. Angela, you've got the mayor. Go.
Hello, hi, I'm in Astoria, and the area is already dense, and we do not have the infrastructure to support it. Excuse me. Why are we allowing the area to become even more dense by tearing down one and two family houses and replacing them with apartment buildings?
Well, there's a balance that you have between development and maintaining the character of a neighborhood. And more people want to live here, and they need housing. And some of the housing for people that are already here is now falling apart, and they want newer housing. So we have to develop someplace. Now, where do you develop? You want to develop near the MTA system, whether it's bus or subway. And as you see, we talked about it earlier, Angela, that the state isn't coming through with money. So we're not expanding where the MTA goes, which sort of limits where you can develop. It is a problem that we're stressing the infrastructure, not just for energy, but for water and sewer, as well as parking and the roads for traveling. It is the kind of balance, and when we have one or two family houses and they build apartments, they don't build 30-story buildings, so we're trying to keep the character of the neighborhood something. Let's go to Mary Lou in Glendale.
All right, line number six. Mary Lou, go. You got Mr. Bloomberg.
Hi. Just wondering where we are on term limits. Can we possibly expect to see you again?
term limits are something that was voted by the voters back in, like, probably in David Dinkins' day, and then reaffirmed, I think it was 96 during Rudy Giuliani's day. There's two ways you get term limits or change term limits. One, the city council could legally do it. I think it'd probably be a pretty big firestorm if they did, but they could do it. Two, you can put a referendum on the ballot, as was done both the first and second times. Mary Lou, the public likes term limits. And my guess is that they would, if you took a, if you had it on the ballot, they would reaffirm term limits. Whether they, in retrospect, like it, the New York Times, for example, has always written editorials against term limits. Some of the other newspapers, Post and News, I forget exactly. But basically, a lot of people would argue that term limits deprive the public of throwing the rascals, the ability to throw the rascals out if they want, and keep the rascals if they do. And it's not democracy to have term limits. But having said that, it is a law that was put in by the public. And if the public wants to change it, I suppose the public can do it. As for me, I've got 566 days, I think it is, left to go. But who's counting? And I'm going to work as hard as I can for those days. I'm determined to make our second term even more productive than the first, and that the last 2 years will be even more productive than the first 2 years, and the last year will be even more productive. It gets harder to do, as I suspect, as you get very close to the end, but we're not going to walk away from our obligation to give the public as much value as they can for the dollar a year they pay me. And I was talking to somebody the other day about parades, and they said, well, you don't have to do any parades anymore. I said, quite the contrary. Next year, for sure, I will try to do every single parade just to say thank you, and so that people won't say, oh, yeah, he marched in a parade because he was running for something, because I'm not going
to
run for something.
As you get closer to the end, those 500 and whatever days they are left, and you look back, has it been what you anticipated it to be?
It's been the greatest job in the world. I look back and I say, if we'd only started this earlier, but you can only do so many things at any one point in time, and there's court challenges and legislative challenges and personnel challenges and economic challenges to get over. I hope the public will say when I leave office, he left the city a lot better than he found it. I think you could say that about Rudy Giuliani. He left the city a lot better than he found it. He didn't fix everything. I won't fix anything. David Dinkins didn't fix everything.
Fixed.
Ed Koch, right, sure. And there's going to be a lot of work to do. And I hope that whoever the next mayor is, they're a better mayor than I am. I mean, I'm going to live in the city, and it would be the most wonderful thing in the world to have them say, yeah, Bloomberg was okay, but the next person is even better and has done an even better job. And, somebody said to me the other day, well, your job is to find a good successor. I tried to change to nonpartisan elections, spent $7 million of my own money. That would have opened up the possibilities for the public. It wasn't, the public didn't pick it.
Right.
So now you're going to have to pick somebody coming through one of the political machines, and likely in the city's overwhelmingly Democratic.
All right. Well, that is the future ahead. That's going to do it for our present. We're out of time, my friend.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Drink water. It's still hot out there. A lot better than it was, but it's still very hot.
Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Friday right here on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Thank you, everybody. That's going to do it for me, John Gambling, and the crew. We're back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, and a happy Father's Day to each and every one of you dads out there. It's 9 o'clock.
Bigger and better. News Talk.